Ding dong! Today's show is brought to you by Casper.com. Receive $50 towards any mattress purchase at www.caspertrial.com/lasculturistas.
And by WarbyParker.com. Get a free 5-day home try-on at www.warbyparkertrial.com/lasculturistas. 5 pairs, 5 days, 100% free.
Las Culturistas is brought to you by the Forever Dog Podcast Network. Be sure to check out more original comedy podcasts at foreverdogpodcasts.com.
And if you love what you hear in and you're a fan of Las Culturistas, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a glowing review.
Yes, God.
Dive in.
My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, hey now, hey now. Aiko, aiko, ande. Giacomo Fino, anane.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling. Ooh. And is it a night or is it a night?
It's a night, honey. Zazazoo, I feel it in the air. Sex and the City reference.
Zazazoo, that Zazazoo. Is a thing you've been saying as of late.
I mean, I've been watching Sex and the City again.
Who says Zazazoo?
Carrie. It's Carrie, of course.
Carrie. Okay,
it's
yes.
Always Carrie.
It's always Carrie.
Honestly, oh here to call out Carrie on her bullshit.
Oh my
amongst
God.
Amongst other things, yeah. Is our amazing guest. Can we list the credits?
Let's list the credits, honey. Oh my God. I mean, where does
New York Times best-selling author.
New York Times best-selling author of You Can't Touch My Hair and Other Things I Still Have to Explain.
Yes. Be writing on the last season of Portlandia if you enjoy cutting-edge, amazing sketch comedy by the pros.
Come through. And if you enjoy amazing podcasts on WNYC, Two Dope Queens, So Many White Guys, you guys.
Podcast Queen.
And she's on I Love Dick, the
and
new Jill Soloway
show. And now she's on Las Culturistas. We are graced.
We are graced with the presence of Phoebe Robinson.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
We are honored.
Guys. Phoebe, come
hearing
on.
Those credits, I'm like, oh, I have done stuff.
Yes. Yes. See, that's the thing. We got to make the guests feel good. Yeah. And, you know, they didn't even know they made themselves feel good.
Oh, yeah. Honey. They had it
you've been working.
All
you do a lot.
I work all the, I'm a workaholic.
Is this the, yeah. Is this the most, like, inane, boring thing at this point? For people to just say at you, you work so much.
No, because I
it's
always
true.
Think I don't work enough.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm always like, oh, I'm not, you know, people are making deals left and right. Like, I need to be uh-huh. doing more. So
yes.
it's I need to just relax
yeah.
is what I mean, need to do.
So are you waking up early every morning?
Well, yes. So I try and get up around 7 so mm-hmm. I can go to the gym in the morning. Equinox. Uh-huh. I joined Equinox.
Gotta
yes.
get it in.
Gotta get that eucalyptus towel.
Yes. Okay. I used to roll my eyes at Equinox, mm-hmm. but it's very goop, but it's also great.
Oh, it's very goop.
It's so goop.
Now, there's a lot of things about goop that are great, though.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is this an LA development?
It's in New York. So last year, mm-hmm. I had my book tour and I was shooting I Love Dick and I was just like stress eating because it was like a lot of traveling
yeah.
and I was like not having sex. So I was uh-huh. just like carbs.
Ugh. Yeah.
And it's like carbs are not penises, but no. right. you know, emotionally.
Famously.
They're.
A lot of people out there that are thinking carbs are penises, girl, listen up.
And so I was just like, I don't like that I'm eating all the time and just sitting and being stressed out. And yeah. like everyone was just like, you should relax. Like a lot of people were like, you're very tense. And I was like, oh, but they were right.
Sure,
I am a
okay,
very
okay.
tense person. So
yeah.
I was like, let me join the gym. So I joined mm-hmm. in New York.
Uh-huh.
I have the destination, which means I can like go
do
to
any of them.
Any
oh,
city.
God bless.
That's
yeah.
the best.
And I love it.
Oh, my God.
So when you're in the gym, what are you doing? Are you a runner?
No.
No.
I do Pilates.
Pilates.
Yes.
Natch and I do spin class.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all, I'm trying to get Matt on SoulCycle because I'm officially in that cult.
I get it. You spin guys. Class is great.
See, and now you know what I'm down for? Is I'm down for that emotional release that apparently comes after SoulCycle and spin,
mm-hmm.
but I am not down for the energy of this is your soul ride.
But okay.
You and it's about the energy of
but
the personalities.
Listen. The energy that when you're in the moment and you're climbing up that hill,
uh-huh.
okay,
yes.
you're gonna want to hear that motivation,
okay,
because you're gonna want to bail, and they're like, you like traveled on the train to get here. This is your life.
Oh
take control,
God.
And it's like, yeah,
you guys, I have
yeah.
to shout
know
out.
What? Yeah,
I have to shout out this iconic,
oh my God,
SoulCycle instructor in New York. So
name her.
My friend Mitra and I signed up for a Gaga versus Beyonce class. at the one in Nomad.
And that's cool.
It was going to be with this instructor, Taylor, who's apparently very popular. We get an email the morning of saying that he dropped out, that we're getting a sub named Claire.
Oh,
and
Claire.
Claire comes in mm-hmm. with this pixie cut, just this gorgeous specimen. And wow. she gagged me. And Mitra for filth, because exactly during the climb when we felt like we were going to mm-hmm. die, Claire just goes, and I told you this, I think, but she goes, and this is for everyone to hear and accept and take in. She goes, you know what? No one said this was going to be easy, but easy doesn't put a roof over your head. Easy doesn't put food on the table.
Yes.
Easy does not help you move forward with your life. So no, I know it's not easy, but who cares about easy? Now turn the dial up. And it was the most glorious moment in the world.
You know what? That inspires me.
That is yeah. so good.
I mean, wasn't even there. She's had a global effect.
She's
already.
Had a global effect, and the endorphins coursing yeah. through your veins, like you feel like a golden goddess. Like yeah. it was amazing.
My
word.
Yeah, I have a couple people here, a couple male trainers here who mm-hmm. do spin class, and I really like them.
See, like it's a yeah. thing. You got it. And you Matt's know, a runner, and he'll be fine.
Well, back in the day, I was a big cross country runner. Uh-huh. Like when I was
you
in high school,
you do have the build for it.
I have the physique of someone that used to run, whose metabolism is like, come on, bitch, come on, please use me
you
again.
You look great.
Well, the thing is, like, it's just getting a little. Like, I know what it's like under the hood. And it's getting a little bit less mm-hmm. tight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like there's now it's starting to like soup up a little bit. We call it soupy soup.
Soupy.
So that's the way we say it.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes, I would love to get back into it. I would mm-hmm. love to find something that really works for me, because lifting weights doesn't.
Yeah, I'm like over it. I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like not good, because like your muscles like are like going into atrophy the older you get. But I'm like, it's boring.
Yeah. yeah.
Also, so, it is hard. I know, like, yeah. for some people, they just prefer to lift weights, and they think that cardio is just the hard one.
Yeah.
For me, the cardio is the easy one. Mm. It almost feels like I I'm cheating when I'm doing cardio.
Oh, wow.
It just is easier. Yeah. But I don't know.
Nice. Yeah. I'm just on that precipice of pulling the trigger on Equinox, because it just...
It's worth it. It's life changing. You're going to start. I started shopping at Lululemon.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I know. And you have to just get into it. It's a whole culture. Yeah. It's a whole yes. scene. Everyone there is good looking. You're like, that's what I'm going to like in 3 months. Right. That's what I'm going to like in 6 months. It's great.
Honestly, attainable, though.
It is attainable. I mean, yeah. there are some people you're like, whoa. All right.
yeah.
But
there's a reason why all this popular stuff is popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally, totally.
We just spoke before we got on air about how Starbucks doesn't mess around.
Guys, Phoebe brought us these cake pops, and these
cake
are delicious.
Pops.
Oh my God, Phoebe, thank you so much. Yeah,
of course.
They've perfected the art of cake pops.
Yeah, they're really good.
Anyway, they're yeah. fantastic.
The only thing they don't nail in Starbucks is the kind of music that they sell.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's like Sheryl Crow. You're yeah. like, what?
I love her to death, but like, I'm not surprised to like the Kelly Clarkson Christmas album in there. You know what I mean? Like, Wrapped in Red is on the shelf.
But you are the target demo for that.
Exactly. Yeah. They knew what they were doing.
But yeah, but you're saying that's not the right move.
I mean, it's not cool.
Sure, sure.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like, yeah. You know.
Doesn't have to be cool. Phoebe, we're going to ask you what we ask all of our guests, which is, what is the culture that made you say, culture is for me?
Yes. This is basically, young Phoebe was like, wow, I am experiencing this in the cultural lexicon, whether it's movies, television, yeah. music, whatever, or also like something in your life, something that happened that really influenced you as a Phoebe.
Oh my gosh. Well, so many things. I'm such a like pop culture head.
Yes.
I guess number one, I'm going to list a few things. So number one is my favorite band of all time, U2.
U2, yep.
I know. Yeah. It's
well documented. Yeah.
No, but great. There's a paper trail.
I mean, in the book, like, you literally, number by number, mm-hmm. talk about each member and about how, like, fucking Adam Clayton dated Naomi Campbell and shit.
Oh, my
like,
God. You did your research.
I mean, but no, but, like, yeah. you, like, went into it. So, you too.
Yeah, you too. They just are very...
I love
you know,
it. No, talk
I just
about
would
it.
Never... I would, honestly... You too.
You too.
I
never got into them.
It's fine.
I tried.
I mean, no, but love them.
But explain. I mean, you've explained
explain,
it before.
Yes. What is it? What touches your heart
okay.
about them?
I just feel. I like how like big their music is. Very like anthemic,
uh-huh.
and it's very like hopeful. Mm-hmm. And I like their message. And like, I'm not a religious person, but they're religious, so their music is kind of like has
yes.
spiritual elements to it that I really identify with. And I don't know. I just think like sometimes when you're like 12 or 13, like if something just hits you at that age,
yeah,
exactly. I just love them so much. I love their philanthropic work. Like, to me, I'm like, the two people I want to be like are Oprah and Bono. I'm like, whatever Oprah does, literally, I'm like, I'm doing that.
Oprah.
Hands down.
They have, you two has one song. Sometimes you can't make it on your own. I love that song.
Okay, okay. Take it to church. We have some
vocals. We have a little bit of vocals.
Oh my gosh, that was so good. That was like really good.
It was.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Except, I mean, it wasn't Bono.
But you guys could duet and it would be fine. He would be like,
he would hear me and he wouldn't be mad.
Sure.
I think he'd be into it.
He'd be into it.
Yeah. So you two, number one.
Yes, yes.
Number two, Felicity.
Okay.
Felicity. One of the greatest TV shows of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Have you seen it?
Well, no, I was gonna say I'm not.
This is something where we have to go back and do our research because I do know the cultural impact that Felicity did have.
Wait, how old are you guys? I'm 32.
26.
I just turned 27.
Stop. So I'm like, so it's not that big of a gap.
It's pre you.
Yeah.
It is. It's just pre us.
Just pre. Okay. Yeah. So I was 14 when it came out on the WB. That's how long ago it was. It was on the WB.
WB.
Dumbass like Singing Seven Frog. Seven. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God.
And I obviously it was that stupid frog. It was stupid. I was like, what is this? And oh obviously God. I was a virgin at the time, you know, listening to U2 and just being like, yeah, Bono, not losing it real quick. Uh-huh. And so,
not losing it real quick.
And so Felicity, okay, so the backstory is Felicity is from Palo Alto.
Yep.
And she's graduating high school and this guy, Ben, is like been her crush.
Yes.
And so she's like, oh, will you sign my yearbook? And he's like, sure. And he like takes it and goes and sits down like on a grassy knoll and like writes this like really long message.
Oh.
And he gives it back to her. And she was like, what's going on? And she reads it and it was just like really sweet. Like, I used to always see you around and wonder like what you were thinking and who you were like. And I just never had like, I just never thought to like say anything to you, but you're like really interesting. So she decides, you know, I'm going to major at, what is it? It's not NYU because they couldn't get the licensing for that.
Yeah.
University of New York.
It's like the College of New York or something.
Yeah, College of New York, LOL. And so she decides, she's go, hey, what school are you going to in the fall? And then he says that school. And she's like, he's like, what about you? And she's like, I haven't made up my mind yet. And then she decides to not go to school in Cali and go to the same college that he's going to.
Ooh.
It's
stalkerish.
Thirsty girl.
Yes. That concept probably doesn't age well.
Does not. It's not feminist.
But
it's not sane. Right. But it's Carrie Russell. She has curly hair. You're like, I'm into it. Yep. I get it.
Yes.
And then it just becomes like this great love triangle between her, Ben, and Noel, who's played by Scott Foley.
Love Scott Foley.
Yeah. And Ben is Scott Speedman. And his thing is he like whispers. He's always like, hey. And I'm like, bitch, speak up. I can't deal with you. But like, he's always like whispery and like, just like, cute and hot. And like Noel is an RA and he's by the book.
Okay, so here we have the two paths.
Yes, yes. So it's like, who is Felicity gonna choose? Right. There's just so much.
Yeah. Okay.
And Pink Power Ranger is in it. Amy Jo Johnson.
Amy Jo Johnson.
Yes, she plays like Felicity's friend. There's a lot.
Whoa. It's famous as of late for her cameo in the Power Rangers movie.
She was in the Power Rangers movie?
Kimberly Pink Power Ranger and Tommy Green Ranger are in the last like moments of the movie. They just literally have like
people.
A tiny non-speaking cameo for 2 seconds. They just look up at like the destruction and they're like, like it's 2 seconds. It is a blink and you miss it. They couldn't even give them a line.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
But are they in it?
You know they're. Do they get a day rate or something?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Tech Avail. They've been Tech Avail for 10 years.
Insane.
Oh my God.
Okay, so I have a question about Felicity. Did the show actually die when she cut her hair?
Okay, so backstory is between season one and season two, her character cut her hair. I don't want to spoil anything, but her character cuts her hair for a particular reason.
Okay. Oh, we can guess.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, boys. Uh-huh. And so, so what happened is Felicity switched time slots between season one and season two. They went to like a shittier time slot, and everyone was like, oh, it's because Felicity cut her hair. And it was like, no, it's because WB was like in shambles, didn't know what they were doing, and like a lot of like kind of teeny sort of collegey stuff kind of like got screwed up.
Wow.
Okay.
Not not a correlation.
So it's like the basic thing to say is she cut her hair and then the show died. All right.
Yeah.
But I'm happy we can put that rumor to bed.
But season one, I mean, it's like the best. It's really, really good. Like, okay, she won a Golden Globe for
yeah,
it.
I think she got nominated for an Emmy, too. Yeah. Or maybe I'm wrong.
She was incredible in it.
And she continues to be incredible on The Americans.
I'm behind.
Or so I hear. Again, don't watch this one.
It's really good.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. And I hear it's one of those ones that gets better, too.
Wow.
It's really good.
I feel like she's one of those people, for me at least, who I'm just like, never, like, clocked her always. Like, knew about her and knew that she was great, but haven't had the firsthand experience.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what I've seen her in and think like and thought like yes. I'm
Waitress.
She was good in Waitress.
Yeah.
She was good in that.
She was good in that, but like for some reason I just don't remember that movie.
Yeah, it's one she's one of those actresses that you know is out there doing good work, but you yourself have not seen it. And you know who that was for me for a long time? Claire Danes.
Oh,
I get that. Yeah, it's like a kind of like general, they have a face.
Right.
Yes. You know, and you're like, all right. Cool.
Yeah. Like, we know she was in the Romeo and Juliet movie.
Yeah.
Did we put ourselves through it is another question.
It was so bad.
Sure. Yeah.
It was terrible.
But now you see her on Homeland, it's a gagaroo.
It's a gagaroo. But people will say that Romeo and Juliet is Boz's best movie.
Those people.
Yeah, that's insane.
They are dismissed.
This is just like now like a litmus test for everybody on her podcast. Yeah. What are your thoughts on Moulin Rouge? If you have any. That's okay. It's okay.
I was like,
Phoebe's making a face.
I was like, Nicole, what are you doing?
Oh, boy.
She was so extra.
Wow.
But you didn't think that it matched what was going on? I thought she was so extra in the best way.
It was like, I was like, Boz, I can't with you.
I've
tried so many times. It's so, like, everything is just like 110%, which I'm like, I appreciate the effort, but like, it's just like, in your face, in your face, in your face. And I was like, Ewan McGregor, I'm like, can you just get a job? Like, you're like in your house all the time writing these
moping, songs. Playing the victim.
Yeah. And it's like, you're hot. Like, fucking, like, do something.
Totally.
Yeah.
And you know what?
A Parisian model.
Yeah.
Totally. I'm just realizing now how manic pixie dream girl that movie is.
Yeah.
Totally.
And she's
my God.
I'm like, whenever someone coughs in a movie, they're like, yeah, it's like, I can't.
She was weakly coughing up that blood.
Right?
I'm just like, oh.
But also, something's like, casually that bleeding in your esophageal
like,
lining.
When the point of the movie is to be that like blown out romanticized thing, like, I let it happen.
Sure. Yeah.
And now we forgive Nicole.
Absolutely.
But here, I will say this. I was never into Nicole.
Until
Big Little Lies.
Same.
And I was like, okay, give her the Emmy, give her the Oscar. It's not a movie, but give it to her.
Yes.
Give her a Webby, whatever you
give
got.
Her a Webby.
Whatever you need. Give her a paper plate award.
If Nicole Kidman doesn't walk away with a fucking Webby this year, then the industry is against her.
We talk about this a lot, and we can continue to talk about this because it won't be the Emmys for some time. But I always say, if I had a ballot in my hand, I'm checking Reese Witherspoon.
Okay, Matt's defense is that Reese.
Okay, I need to hear this because that's controversial. First of all,
for sure, I would say that.
Yeah.
Here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
We fell in love with Big Little Lies because of Reese. Because of her limping in the first episode. she could falling on the asphalt. Have my firstborn for that.
Yeah, that was really good. That was really
good. So for that, also all the line readings throughout, like if you can sell a one-liner, you are my godmother.
For example,
my biggest comedic influence, Eva Longoria. Because the woman could kill you with a comedic one-liner.
Yeah, right, that's true.
Now,
that's
to be serious for a second, the work that she did throughout the show, I felt was more versatile. But I'm not saying that if Nicole won the Emmy, I've said on this podcast, I would leap to my feet.
You know, I've thought about this.
Yeah.
The more I think about this, the more I feel like Nicole, with that role and with that character and with that arc, probably had to really put herself in a shitty,
it was
hard
dangerous
place.
Yeah.
Have you read the book?
I have not. Yes. But I heard it's great.
I was just telling Bowen, the abuse in the book towards the end, I'm actually happy that they didn't depict it on television, because what happens in the book is The last straw for her is he takes her head and slams it against a wall.
Oh my god.
And it is so painful. And I think I was in the airport reading it, and I literally like had to put it down because I was gasping. And so then you watch the show, and it's just like, can you like to embody like, and this is of course it happens all the time, like, and which is tragic and devastating, but like she put herself in that place, and like really I'm so happy the show is out there because people can, I guess maybe more people will start talking about this and just like really starting to like empathize with what goes on out there in the world, because it was thick, and I'm like really happy we got to see like what it really, I guess, what it feels like to be in that, those therapy scenes.
Yeah.
The amount the of therapist. Justification she was doing. The amount of like justification she was doing. It's like, wow, this is what it's like to really fight for something that's bad for you.
Mm-hmm. And also, I have to like give a shout out to Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah.
Who I was like, he's a good actor. You see his penis in True Blood, so you're like, cool. Like, love it. But then to see him do this and provide that layer of complexity, because I think the easy way out would have been like, he's just a monster, rawr. But it was like, he knew he was broken, he knew he was damaged, and you could see him like be evil 1 minute and super loving the next minute. Mm-hmm. And then like, I just really think they displayed like what abuse is really like. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for people to see that. And I was really impressed by what he did.
Absolutely.
Because
that's a hard character.
I'm a fan for life.
And it's a career gamble and a risk for him to take.
Because not everyone out there is going to be intelligent enough to be like, he's playing a part. He happens to be playing it really well, especially when you do it so convincingly. It's like, you're just going to be scary to people.
Yeah.
Just like the way he would like walk like a predator sometimes. It was just like so, it was like a masterclass of acting. Totally. Like they should just win like best miniseries or whatever. I just don't know what's going to be better than that this year.
Also like, what amazing casting. Whoever put it together, like to cast like two like super sexually charged actors like that, like, because when you saw the sex scenes and like in the early episodes, you almost were like, fuck, like they do have something crazy.
It was lit, like when they were like, you know, Skype sex, I was like, this is cool. And then I was like, oh,
but not, also
yeah,
it's successful in that way too, because you catch yourself almost, you catch yourself forgiving.
Yeah, you're like, oh, Perry. And then you're like, nope.
Yeah,
nope,
no.
Close
no.
up shop.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
But, I mean, big fan.
Wait, I just want to segue into this, and I really want to just talk to you about this. Because I don't remember if it was on a Two Dope Queens episode or if it was in the book, but, like, at length you talked about Izzy and Denny having ghost sex.
Yes.
And about how you kept watching Grace. Yes. And because we
watched it well through season seven.
Yeah.
Like past like the,
I past think the plane Izzy crash was when I was like, yeah.
Okay. What was like, like when did you hang your hat with Grace?
I think it was
time of death.
It was Izzy and George. Once I think when he like got killed, I was I'm out.
Oh sure,
season
that was six.
Died was season five.
Yeah,
finale.
I peaced out and I was like, I love you, Shonda, but I'm like, life is short. Yeah. Like I haven't read Moby Dick. Like you know what I mean. Like I need to get it together. I just can't anymore.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know she gave up on it too.
I know.
But I heard it's good again. Like they went through a shitty period. Now it's supposed to be really good again. And I'm like, I can't live life like this.
No.
You know?
No, I would tune back in now and I would just be sad because I don't know how you feel, but season 1, 2, 3,
I mean,
that was the shit. Yeah.
Incredible.
So good. So good. It still holds up.
Yeah.
Like absolutely.
Yeah.
I went home a few weeks ago to my parents and they just have this giant home theater.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's amazing.
Sorry. But then I just watched the episode where Christina, it's Sandra O's last episode, and I fully fucking
I haven't seen that. I should watch it.
It's great. Like there are certain moments that are like peppered throughout the later seasons that are like actually had a lot of thought, and I'm sure Shonda and Betsy Beers.
She's always gonna write a good model. Like, she's always gonna have someone on the team that can turn out a good scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's just, you know, I mean, and she better have come through for Sandra Oh's last episode.
Oh, sure, you can't play her.
I actually came out of the woodwork and watched that one as a standalone because I was like, I have respect for Sandra Oh, and I know that it's fine. If it's totally fine to just peek your head in and watch that episode, you still get it.
Okay.
I felt like this was such a big part of my life for like 3 years. Like Grey's was, whew, and I still continue to watch it all through. You know her storylines with Owen and everything. I was like, I'm gonna see this character through.
Yeah.
I did.
Totally.
But I mean, yeah. Sandra Oh, Emmy-less for that part.
Ugh. Crime.
Wait, she never won?
She won a Golden Globe. She never won an Emmy, which I think
how
is
that possible?
A travesty.
Who won?
Well,
in her stead?
Catherine Heigl took one.
Yeah, and then she shot on the writers the next year.
I'm just gonna sip water.
She's gonna sip the water. See, there's man.
I can't.
I was so on board when she came out so hard against
Isaiah Washington
for him using the F word against T.R. Knight. And when she was like, I will go to bat for him always. Like, this is like a brother to me, whatever. And then hard to get on her side after like just being so disrespectful.
Yeah, you can't like take like it was Grey's Anatomy. It was Knocked Up. It's like you can't take these jobs and then trash the people who created the work for you.
Right,
like,
right.
Appreciate like. Knocked Up is like what got her the paycheck that she got on movies going forward.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah.
I do agree that like the female characters aren't as well drawn in that movie, but it's like, girl, that like kind of changed your career in a lot of ways. So like you should be more appreciative.
Totally.
I just can't.
I will say I am down for her whatever attempt at a career revival she's going for now.
I mean, it has not gone well.
It has not gone well, but I'm saying, but like, there is like this weird,
like the cat.
Yeah.
Litter commercial.
She sells cat litter.
Yeah,
now,
kitty litter.
That's not a joke.
But then she's got that going on, and she also has that new movie with Rosario Dawson.
That's true.
But here's the thing. Too. Absolutely. Yeah. Obsessed too.
It's obsessed too. What are you going to say?
I almost just said, like, I wonder if it'll be better than Obsessed. And I was like, what am I talking about? Obsessed
I don't think so.
No, Beyonce dropping garbage. A chandelier on Ali Larder will never be beat.
That's
garbage
pretty legendary.
Until the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, I'm into this. Yeah.
You send that last 15 minutes to Sundance Film Festival. It wins the audience award.
Send it to Cannes.
Send it to Cannes.
A little bit every grand jury.
She dropped a chandelier.
On Ali Larder.
Ali Larder.
Yeah. Wait, she was married to Idris Elba, right?
Yes.
It was so infuriating how dumb he was. It was like, Idris, I need you to get it together.
But some of that dialogue,
epically bad script.
Yeah. Idris, well, where should I go then? To hell. But until then, I suggest
the four seasons.
Iconic.
Also, Christine Lottie.
Who's that?
She plays the police officer.
That's right.
The dumbest police officer you've ever seen in your life. Everyone, go back and watch Obsessed.
Yeah.
Christine Lottie, as like the detective or whatever.
Oh, boy.
Is so epically dumb. And she does, and she is operating at 70% because even she in her line readings is judging herself.
Yeah.
Look, I don't care if you're fucking this girl or not. It's just like so bad.
Speaking of like, okay, this movie's like not actually bad. It's just like low key ignorant, but like high key amazing. Uh-huh. Have you guys seen the movie Unfaithful? I just rewatched it recently with a girlfriend who had never seen it, and it literally changed her life.
The thing about Unfaithful is,
oh my God,
she's giving everything.
Diane Lane is like fucking killing it.
Yeah,
but it's
but
it's still yet bad.
It's so bad. There's so many problems with it.
And she got an Oscar nomination for that.
Richard Gere should have gotten one too because he was like incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, he brought layers to that character that could have been just like, all right, dumpy, like frumpy guy.
That's a wild thing for me. Bad movies with amazing performances.
Yeah.
Do you have one of those?
Oh God, I'm having, that's pretty specific.
Unfaithful is a really good one.
Yeah. It's like, Like she's always like cooking spaghetti. Yeah. And it's so bad.
Yeah.
It takes her 3 hours. I'm like, it's spaghetti.
Yeah. It's. Did you mess up the first one? Like,
oh my God, are you trying to like just do some fucking pool noodles? Like, grow them out? That's so funny. What's a bad movie with amazing performances?
Showgirls, just kidding.
Showgirls, but also
Gina
not really.
Gershon,
she was incredible.
She
in that.
Committed
to
it.
Yeah,
she could have gotten like a People's Choice nom. 100%.
I would have
been fine with that.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, also, you got like.
Was she Nomi Malone? Is that.
No. Gina was the other one.
Oh,
the
God,
one
God.
Who's like the seasoned one.
Yeah. Uh huh.
For some reason, this movie keeps binging in my head. It is not... It is a bad movie, and it doesn't have amazing performances, but I keep wanting to say Burlesque. But also, that's Burlesque is fun to watch, though.
It is fun.
Kristen Stewart's in that. She's like...
Wait, she
Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell. Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Oh, I was like, Kristen Stewart's in this?
No, I'm
Kristen
so sorry.
Kristen Stewart could never have that much fun.
No.
I'm terrible with those names. Oh my God, Burlesque. Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Oh, you should see
You should watch it. Oh my God. It's like dumb fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice, it's like a period movie. Like, even if you don't have your period, just like whenever you're feeling crummy, watch it.
Right. Yeah.
It's a good one to lay around to next time you have a sinus infection.
Nice. Yeah. Oh my God, Phoebe, I want to ask you about, just to go back to Oprah for a second.
Oh my gosh.
Because I think I heard somewhere that you got a call after the book came out. Can we talk about this?
Yeah, we can. Okay, this is great, exciting.
Okay.
Yeah,
I have the voicemail on my phone.
Oh my God.
Did you speak to her directly afterwards?
Yes. Okay, so I'll tell you the story. So when I was writing the book, I was always like, we should like get it to Oprah, but I was like, LOL, like none of us know her people.
Sure. Yeah.
And so the book came out, and then 2 days later my lit agent called me. And he was like, so I have to tell you something. He's like, so Oprah has your book. And I was like, what? And I was like, how does she get it? I'm like, she's Oprah. She can get whatever she wants. Yeah. I was like, how does she get it? He's like, I don't know. But her team called and said that she loves the book. And she like wants to talk to you. And I was like, what? And he was like, she's really unpredictable. So she's just going to like call you whenever. And I'm like, that's just like what a phone call is. But like,
yeah, absolutely. You understand. Know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, that's not unpredictable.
What's going to happen is she's going to get on the phone. It's going to ring.
We don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah. We don't know what she'll say. Oh my God.
And so I was like, okay. So like, so be on the lookout for a phone call from her. And I was like in the middle of traveling. And so the next day I didn't hear from her. My agent was like, I can't believe she didn't call. I was like, she's literally saving Africa right now. Yeah, like it's totally fine. I was like, but I did miss this like phone call randomly, some like random number. So he checked and it was her trying to reach me.
Wow.
So he was like, just tomorrow, just like be on the lookout for it. I was like, okay. So I was, the next day I was like in a meeting. And my phone was going off. And I was like, I think this is her, but you can't interrupt a meeting. So I was just like, oh, well, she'll call back.
Wow. I would have just been like, I have to take this.
My God.
Phoebe.
She'll call back.
When you just expect implicitly that Oprah will call you back.
The literal number one pop culture icon, literally of all time. She'll call back.
Yeah. You know what?
I am obsessed.
I'm going to screen this one.
Yeah. Wow. So I told my lit agent, who's like, yeah, it's definitely her. And I was like, I know. And so then the next day I got a phone call, but I was like, I couldn't tell the number. I was like, this can either be her or it could be like my student loans, because I'm buying my student loans. So I was like, I'm just going to risk it, not pick it up. And if I get a voicemail, fine. Didn't get a voicemail. And I was like, I might have fucked that up.
Oh!
Literally, oh, the God. Only yes. person harder to get in touch with than Oprah is Phoebe Robinson.
And so the next day I was on set for this Amazon show I'm on, I Love Dick. And I never bring my phone with me on a set because I want to be like present.
So professional.
It's like an actor's choice. I want to be present. And I wrapped my scene. And so then I saw my phone. I was like, oh, I have a few missed calls and I have a voicemail. And I was like, and I go, I'm not going to listen to this voicemail. It's probably my parents. They always leave like long voicemails.
Oh my God.
So I just call back the first number. It's like an 818 number. And a person answers like, hello. And I was like, hey, yeah, I just got a phone call from this number, but I don't know who this is. And he was like, what? And I was like, okay, I'm going to go. Bye. So I like called her house. It was like her estate guy.
It was Stedman.
No, it wasn't Stedman. What if I talk to Stedman? That'd be amazing. God.
Stedman answers her phone.
Yeah.
You know.
Honestly, not out of the question. Oh, my God.
And so I was like, that was not a good first impression. Let me just listen to this voicemail in case it's not my parents. It was Oprah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She was like, hi. Oh, no. So first, before I get to that, I hang up the phone. I get a text message. It's like, Phoebe, it's Oprah, ... Call me. And I was like, ah! So then I listened to the voicemail And she's like, "Hi, Phoebe, it's Oprah, as in Winfrey." And I was like, "Oh my God, you're so humble.
As in Winfrey.
So humble. So humble.
So humble."
And she was just like really sweet. And she was like, "I've been trying to get in touch with you, but then I realized my number is blocked and you probably don't like answer blocked calls. So I like unblocked my call. So here is this number. I'm going to try and call you back on my cell number." Which is, and she's like, "Oh, you know what? I don't know my cell number. I'll figure that out."
Of course she doesn't.
I know. She. When you're that rich, you don't need to know that information. You have people.
It's 10 numbers in sequence? No way.
Yeah.
No. Oh my God.
And so she was like, "Looking forward to talking to you soon." So I called her back and I was just like, "Hi, Oprah, it's Phoebe." And she was just so sweet and complimentary. And I was like, "I really enjoyed the book and like it spoke to me."
Oh my God.
And I was just like, "Oprah." And it was just like really nice.
Yeah.
To so, just like chat with her.
Now, here's the knowledge that Oprah has read your innermost thoughts and like your feelings and thoughts about the world, and that is
huge.
So crazy.
It's crazy. I still can't believe it.
Because when you're writing the book, you're thinking, first of all, you're probably thinking, this is fun for me to write, and like people will enjoy it. And then you're like, hold on, wait. That means anyone can read this, and anyone includes fucking Oprah.
Yeah. So it was just like a really like, oh, it was like cool to like meet your heroes because they can be really amazing and lovely. So.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, I just want to say, I mean, first of all, that's amazing. But with Oprah, it's like, one day, like a few months ago, I posted her final episode.
Oh my God.
I remember you did this.
And multiple people were like, I just clicked on it and just thought I was only going to watch a snippet of it. But then she just sucks you in and you just watch the whole freaking thing, which is like 42 minutes long.
She's brilliant.
And it's the most beautiful thing. The entire thing is like, this has never been about me. It's always been about you. And it's just the thing she says. So beautiful. I mean, yeah. God, Oprah read your book and loved it and decided to call you and unblock her number.
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
So I still have the voicemail on my phone.
You must.
My
God. That's like an heirloom now.
Yeah.
You pass that shit down.
You should make sure you put it on different devices,
too. I send it as an email to myself and I upload it to the cloud.
Yes.
So I'm just like, there's no way I'm going to lose this.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That is truly incredible.
Incredible. And the book is amazing.
It really is. It's so fun.
Can we talk about one specific chapter?
Sure.
It's the one. It's the uppity one.
Oh,
this
yeah.
was and let me tell you, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
And
gotta admit that I didn't know the full origins of that word either. And then you tie the meaning of that word with this horrible experience you had on this show. That will not be named and is strategically not named in the book, but. Yeah. Horrible thing where like the judges like are like, "This headshot sucks, but you look great now."
They were so mean to so many people.
And it's like what they do on reality shows. We talk all the time about how we have friends who like go on these shows and like they literally break you down.
Was a dark day in history when American Idol became
what it was,
the number one show in America.
Yeah,
a little bit,
because I think it started not only like a access to degrading people publicly, but also a comment and critique culture where everyone thought because they watched professional judges, quote unquote professional judges, do this to people, that they had the experience to then do it to each other.
Yeah.
And to just people.
So
they
many
didn't know.
And of course, you know, it ruined people's lives. So.
Have you guys ever done like audition for reality TV stuff or no?
So.
Get this.
Tomorrow,
I'm gonna be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. When this episode is out, you guys, this will have been weeks ago. So I did okay. I won $5,000.
Yeah,
but
it was just.
Yeah, was it hard?
It's just different than you think it's gonna be. Like, of course, you go on to, and of course, this is different than a reality show. And they didn't treat me badly.
Yeah.
But I got a little glimpse into what it's like to be on like something like that, and the deck is kind of stacked because it's such an intimidating situation. And then, you know, you also kind of you do sign away certain things.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I don't deal with anything as badly as like. We've had a friend that's been on American Idol and it was a very hard situation.
No.
We know Zeke Smith,
yeah,
who was just a Survivor contestant that was outed as trans.
That was so upsetting to me. Yeah. I was like, because I don't watch Survivor, so I was just reading the story online. I was like, how dare this other guy do this?
Yeah,
and he's the guy's gay, and obviously, like, there's a lot of self-hatred there and a lot of insecurity there. And I actually think he's the one we need to watch very closely now, because
he just got fired.
He got fired. Yeah. And also, like, I think his family and friends need to be keeping a close eye on him, because I would imagine that he is in a very dark place right now. But anyway, I was thinking, and I don't know if you thought this when it all happened, but, you know, they had the option to not show that. Mm-hmm. And then I guess I would hope it was up to Zeke to say, it's okay. I actually think this could be a healing and growing moment for, you know, trans youth or, you know, the transgender community, and we should go ahead with this. But I wonder if that was an option.
Oh, you, because they are presenting it like Zeke was involved in the decision making, but you're maybe thinking that he wasn't.
I mean, at that level where there's that much money involved, and really what matters to these people is ratings.
Right.
And nothing else. And so you do wonder, like, how collaborative the decision to air that stuff was, and how much say was had.
Yeah. I mean, that all goes back to, like, just this new trend since, like, in a post-American Idol world where, like, just embarrassing people for profit was, like, acceptable.
Yeah.
But to go back to the book, I mean, you tie that story in, like, pretty terrible experience in with, like, how black people and black women especially are, like, when they assert ambition, it's just immediately struck down with, ooh, I'm sorry, I'm banging on the mic. It's immediately struck down with, like, well, no, like, you're reaching too high.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. And then that even, and I just remember this very, very, very clearly, because then I think you even talked about, like, veiled language of people saying, like, well, you're so exotic. Yeah. You're so exotic. And we deal with that with, like, in terms of queer stuff. It's like, well, that's too niche. Like, we'll go into pitching rooms and have people.
Yeah, that was a classic one.
Yeah.
What? Our ideas were too niche.
It's like, oh, they're too gay? Okay, that's fine. Just say they're too gay.
Yeah.
Even though that's a shitty thing to say. But anyway, I don't know, like, has that gotten better? I know that's a weird question.
And
but
have,
like,
you had a lot of response to that? Because I'm sure a lot of people who read the book didn't know about the root of that language.
Well, I think what I'm most excited about now is that there's more black female representation, which I think is important. So you have people like Issa Rae and Michaela Cole with chewing gum. I'm, like, so obsessed.
I need to watch it. It's really
great and fantastic and super quirky.
Yeah.
And Michaela writes all the episodes herself. And so it's really, like, she stars in it. So it's just having these, like, voices who they're in control of their vision, and they're providing another layer of the black experience. Because I think a lot of times, like, you know, we just think about the black experience in terms of, like, black men and not really, like, how black women are affected.
Yeah.
And so I think right now it's really cool that there's all these different perspectives. So I'm hoping that also happens with, like, the queer community, because I feel like you guys, like, I love you guys. I think you guys are amazing. And, like, you're not too gay. You're not too niche. Like, you should be out in the world having your own show.
Oh, we're doing it.
You know what I mean?
I mean, like, we're out and we're just,
you know,
flaunting our stupid gifts. Sorry.
You know, it's so encouraging whenever there's, like, minority representation. I'm psyched. I feel like it's a support step for everyone. Like, for example, I am so psyched for Francesca and having her show. And I know it's going to be a huge success. And that makes me feel like a part of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you say this because you've worked with her and you know what she does.
She's very sweet.
She's
smart.
So hardworking.
Yeah.
So everything. And, like, not even because I've worked with her specifically that I feel like being a part of it, but it's just like, wow, you know, I'm so psyched that they went with someone who's going to bring something new and who's going to bring something good.
Yeah.
Because, and it's almost so stupid that it's taken this long.
I know.
Totally.
Because it should have been like that from the beginning. It's like, why do you think, like, we don't trust, or, like, all these voices, like, all blend together? It's because they're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
They've been homogenized so much.
Yeah.
Like, people upset about, you know, Fallon's rating slipping. It's like, I don't think it has much to do with Fallon. I think it has a lot to do with people just tuning out in general.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't have, like, data in front of me that shows that that's true, but I think that we're on the precipice of seeing a lot of new cool stuff emerge, especially because everything in like the political and international sphere is like getting so bad.
Yeah.
Like I was thinking the other day, someone said to me the other day, like Sudi said to me, like, it's really comforting to be able to watch Feud. Because I feel like it's almost like the universe gave us Feud because there's a Trump.
Or like RuPaul's Drag Race, which is like becoming more and more mainstream, which is like how it should be. This isn't like this, like drag world isn't like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, no.
It's like, no, this is a commentary on culture. This is satire. This is witty. This is smart. This is funny. This is all these things. And like, you know, straight people. I love my straight people, but we are slow with a lot of stuff. And so seeing something like that move to VH1, get the highest ratings it's ever gotten, automatically be renewed for another season, I'm like, oh, straight people are starting to slowly get it. Like,
and it's,
you don't need to see yourself reflected in everything to enjoy it.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Which I think is great.
That's so true.
Well, when you're pushed to the outside of something, you're able to see it more clearly.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's something you're going to get with all these emerging voices and these diverse voices.
Absolutely.
Is clearer, different, new takes.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's what we think.
Guys, on that note, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Phoebe Robinson. Wikey, wikey. Okay. Now listen, bitch. Today we have
a little bit of an offer.
For you, the listeners of Las Culturistas, Casper is offering $50 towards any mattress purchase at Casper.com. The Casper mattress is an obsessively engineered mattress, honey, at a shockingly fair price. Now, Matt, listen up. It's got just the right sink, just the right bounce. Ooh. It's made of two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, honey.
Two.
That come together for a life well slept. Now listen, Matt, I gotta tell you, I've been on the Casper website and their user experience is to die for.
Oh my God, even on the web, they aren't doing it right.
Absolutely. And look, they've got the Casper pillow and the Casper sheets, honey, so you can get the full Casper bed experience.
I'm trying to dive into this Casper life.
Now you know what? You can dive in with $50 off on any mattress purchase. It's the most awarded mattress of the decade. So what are you waiting for? Go get one. And to receive $50 towards any mattress purchase, go to CasperTrial.com/Las Culturistas. Write this down, bitch. CasperTrial.com/Las Culturistas for $50 towards any mattress purchase.
You know, Bowen, I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. And that's because of Warby Parker.
Oh, come on.
Also sponsored by Warby Parker, you guys. Warby Parker is offering Las Culturistas listeners, hey, that's you, a free 5-day home try-on to give you the opportunity to check out their glasses. So Warby Parker makes buying glasses online easy and risk-free. Again, another company that's nailing it on the web.
Come on, the web.
The home try-on program, okay? It allows customers to order 5 pairs of glasses to be shipped directly to them, not to your friend, to you. Okay? You don't have to go through.
Don't
have to go through any challenges, okay? You don't have to hit the cutoff man here, honey. That's for the straights at home who like baseball. They're going to allow you to order 5 pairs of glasses to be shipped directly to them, where they can try them on in the comfort of their own home. This is, you guys can try it on in your own house. You can get feedback from your friends, family, and colleagues, and of course, enemies.
Oh.
We always want to stress that when your enemies see you in these Warby Parkers, they're going to be like, oh, well, why am I even trying?
Why am I trying?
Users can keep the frames for 5 days before sending them back for free using the prepaid returning shipping label, so keep that, with no obligation to purchase. So you get to try these on, see if you like them for an extended period of time.
And you have an excuse to visit the post office or your local UPS drop-off spot.
Yes, absolutely. And it's always good to check in with those folks.
Absolutely.
So to get your home try-on today, go to warbyparkertrial.com/Las Culturistas. I'm going to say that again, okay?
Okay?
For all you who might not have been listening.
Hey.
For all you who took a break during this part of the podcast, I'm getting your attention back right now.
I don't think so many people who are skipping through the mid-roll.
Absolutely. Don't you dare. Again. I'm saying it again, warbyparkertrial.com/Las Culturistas for your free 5-day home try-in. Tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your friend, tell your aunt.
Tell your aunts.
Tell your aunts.
Okay, and now let's get back to the show.
Yes. We're back with Phoebe Robinson telling her how adorable she looks.
Hi.
She does.
Oh my gosh. So we were literally off air. We were just talking about our favorite musicals. We've decided that Bowen and Phoebe both love West Side Story, mm-hmm. and I love Xanadu.
Which is not, which is a gag answer.
That's
a Xanadown. Phoebe, you mentioned RuPaul mm-hmm. before the break. Mm-hmm. Are you watching this season?
I am watching this season.
Come on. Thoughts.
Okay. Charlie, what even was that? Well, you know what? I think he came on this show just to be seen. He didn't have any intentions of going far, of winning. He just wanted the extra exposure. Sure. And I'm like, so many people kill to be on that show. And like, how dare you be like, I'm not going to lip sync? Fuck you.
I have a theory about it.
I can't.
I think that's just like, who Charlie is. That's what Charlie decided to do. And I actually have a feeling that RuPaul might know Charlie from way back. And because one of my friends was like, RuPaul should have told Charlie off. Like, mm-hmm. RuPaul should have come for Charlie right there.
It should have been like,
how dare you? Yeah, yeah. But then I was like, the thing is, though, this is like an older queen. Mm-hmm. Like, probably there is a lot going on around in her mind about being on the show. And I think
surrounded by all these 20-year-olds.
Yeah, who clearly have the leg up. And like, what's Charlie going to do? A death drop?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, and so I think it was appropriate that Rue didn't like come for her, just kind of let her go with her dignity.
I would have gagged for, you know, a 50-year-old queen doing a death drop.
She would have gagged too in a hospital bed on some hospital food.
But you know what? And I at first took issue with Charlie, like in the confessional, saying, you know what? I'm a singing queen. I don't lip sync.
Yeah.
Like having this staunch like identity thing. Yeah. But you know what? She's seasoned enough of a drag queen to like really just say like know what she can and can't do and just be like, I just don't do it. So I don't begrudge her of that, but it was so lame that she just stood there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other thoughts?
Who
are we loving?
I like Valentina. Uh-huh. She's really good. I like Trinity, too.
Same. Okay.
Yeah.
My fave.
I'm officially done with Eureka. I can't.
Oh, thank you.
I'm so over it.
Cut.
Just, she's done. A very talented queen, and I love her choices. With the wardrobe, and I think in her Meet the Queen, she was like, I just want to wear what you wouldn't normally associate big girls wearing. Like, I want to wear something that you say she shouldn't be wearing that, but still pull it off. And I was like, oh, that's cool. But the fact that she has like this attitude problem and she's rude and she's like mean is really upsetting.
It's like Ginger Minj Part 2.
There you go.
It really is. And it's just, the thing is, it's so obviously born out of insecurity. Mm-hmm. And so I almost don't even, I don't want to get to the point where I have to be like, fuck you. But like, it's gotten to the point now where it's like, God, like, get it together. Also, it's not drag to be really mean.
Yeah. No. That's not part of it at all.
I don't even think it's necessarily out of insecurity. It's just like probably just narcissism or something where she just wants to be the loudest voice. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Think about it, though. Like, we see Eureka as a boy. That's how she walks the streets. Like, I don't think Eureka is narcissistic. I think Eureka is probably very insecure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that is why I'm trying to come at it from like a place of like, you know, I want her to love herself enough so she can love everyone else. Can I get an amen? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But the thing is, like, it's just hard. Like, it's going to be a long road, I think, for her to get to a place where she's not going to be very defensive. And she's a good queen.
She is
good. So I'm like, just fix the personality. Like, learn from Roxy Andrews. Learn from Fifi. Mm-hmm. Like, just being nasty doesn't win.
Mm-hmm,
just doesn't, you know?
Yeah, it's not. We ran into Roxy Andrews in Universal Orlando Resort.
You did?
Yeah, and she was really nice. In fact, my boyfriend Henry and I were there in Islands of Adventure. And apparently, Roxy's an Orlando queen. And apparently, she's always there. And Ginger Minj is always in the theme parks. Because in Orlando,
what you do
is you go chill in the theme parks. Because they all have season passes or whatever. It's like the fun thing to do. So we saw her as a boy, obviously. And my boyfriend was like, that's Roxy Andrews. And I was like, no way. Turned around and all I did was point and say, nothing. I just pointed and I was like, I was just like, I see you. So then we obviously got out of the park and like took a breath.
Mm-hmm.
And then Henry goes, she's coming up right behind you right now. She's approaching you. She's coming up to us right now. And I was like, I turned around and she fully came up and like gave us a hug.
What?
And her friends offered to take a picture and asked us what we were doing in town and said she was gonna have and like really engaged.
Oh.
And it was so kind and it's so different from the season 5 Roxy Andrews, which was like truly mean. Mm-hmm. Maybe even worse than anyone's ever been.
Yeah.
Worse than Fifi, you think?
Roxy was pretty bad.
She was up there with Fifi. Yeah.
She was bad.
Yeah. She was mean to Jinx. Mean.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good situation. And no, it was really, and I love Jinx. Do you have a favorite queen of all time?
Well, you interviewed Alaska.
Yeah. Alaska was amazing. I think my favorites are Alaska, Latrice,
yes,
and Alyssa. Mm-hmm.
Solid three. That's a good three.
Also, I really love Katya.
Oh, yeah. You got it.
Yeah. Katya's great. God. What about
kinda
you guys?
Like Bowen's girl.
That's my girl, but also just because you relate, and I think everybody relates in that capacity where it's like she's paralyzed by fear and insecurity with herself. Mm-hmm. But Alaska is just like, just new. Mm-hmm. And the only time the veneer ever cracked was that like episode in All Stars 2 where she just like
freaked out, that meltdown. Yeah.
Like who hasn't had a grandmother of all meltdowns like that? But oh my God, Alaska though. Alaska's the one.
Yeah.
The one.
Love it.
I listened to the episode, but like what was it like? Like
he's
meta.
So great. Yeah. He was just really funny and chill and sweet. And it was just really, really nice. And we're talking about Lady Gaga and he was saying how he met her and it was just like really cool.
Yeah.
It was really great.
He goes to like UCB shows. He just like goes and hangs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. He's like he likes the comedy show.
I love
which,
that.
Which like makes me love her even more.
You guys are going to have a drag queen on this show. I just know it's going to happen.
Oh, sure.
Can I tell you who we were trying to get?
Who?
Michelle Visage. Like while we were in town, I think we were trying to get her. And I think she might be just out of our reach. Like some people that I was talking to about it was like, I think you need to get some queens first. Mm-hmm. And then it'll make it worth Michelle Visage's while. Because we're at the point right now where like, probably her people wouldn't even tell her that we contacted.
yeah.
But I do know she loves to connect with the young gays.
She does. She does. You can get her.
She has
a grinder.
She does.
She said on What's the Tea that she has a grinder because she just likes to chat.
That's hilarious.
It's hilarious, but also like, okay, just chill out, Michelle. You've got a kid. Just like I'm just saying, not saying like she can't be on Grindr because she has a kid, but it's like hang out with your kid.
Yeah,
don't be on the phone chatting with dudes on Grindr.
Maybe the kid is asleep. We all know us kids are awake at night, so she knows that too. Mm-hmm. She puts her kids to bed, and then she hangs out with the other kids.
Yeah,
I think we can. I mean, not to like book live while we're on the record, but like we can get like we know Thorgy, like we've been to Bob's shows before she was on the show.
Yeah, you should get Bob.
Have you seen Bob perform live?
Yeah, well Bob was on Two Dope Queens.
Yeah, I know Bob was on Two Dope Queens,
but not the full Bob experience. Yes. I have not yet, but so, I really want to.
Bob used to do a weekly show at Barracuda Lounge in New York, and we were lucky because we got to see Bob before now you can't see Bob anymore.
Yeah.
And that was the funniest comedy show in New York City.
That was one of the best comedy shows in New York City, hands down.
I should hang out with you guys. I feel like you guys are really hip and cool. I like to be at home in bed.
See, the thing is, though, I also like to be at home in bed.
And I also like to be at home in bed.
And Bob the drag queen was the only thing that could get me out at midnight on a Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Which is when Bob's shows were.
I can't.
I know, right? But Bob made it worth it. I promise you. Just go home.
Yeah.
Look up Bob doing a lip sync to
God Warrior.
Okay.
And
the wife swap. Remember that wife swap episode where she was like,
"I'm a god warrior,"
a very religious woman.
Oh yeah.
So he does a lip sync mix to that.
That's hilarious.
And then he does a lip sync mix to "Slave for You" by Britney Spears with Chris Rock's stand up about slavery, and it's the most genius. It's genius.
Okay.
So funny, and it's just fantastic. So yeah, I mean, God, Bob was great on Two Dope Queens too. Yeah,
so fun.
Oh my god, great.
That energy was. Amazing.
Yeah. Oh my God, Phoebe. So tell us, I don't know, this is like slightly cloying, but I mean, we're charting new waters in the podcast world.
Yeah, so you're a podcast queen.
Yes.
So was this something, because we started doing this and it was just like, this will be for us.
Yeah.
But like, what's the tea?
Tea on this?
Like, so when you started getting into it, were you just like, this will be for fun, or was that?
Yeah, I mean, even before I started with WNYC, I used to do a podcast out of my apartment in Brooklyn that like maybe 100 people listened to, and I was just interviewing people, and I just had fun doing it. It was like I just wanted to hang out with funny people, and that was it. And then when I teamed up with Jess and Two Dope Queens, we really just wanted to be representing different voices.
Yeah.
And then same with like so many white guys. I just really wanted to interview people that I thought were brilliant and hilarious and weren't gaining enough shine, or like I felt like weren't being asked enough great questions in interviews.
Yeah. That really is what it's about. Yeah. Like, people get booked, but then they get asked fucking bullshit.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Right? Like, I felt like a lot of Janet Mock was just like, so you're a woman now. And it was just like, they're so, you know what I mean? Yeah. It just felt so reductive and like dismissive in a way, and just kind of like putting her in the other category. And it's like, there's more to her than just transitioning into her, who she really is. You know what I mean? And I just felt like people were just kind of not respecting that or honoring her talent or her her intelligence. And so I just really wanted to stop that.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I remember going to the Two Dope Queens launch party in the green space.
My God, that's right. You were there.
So I was there, and I got the hookup. This is before we this is before we knew each other, but like, I had seen you do stand up, and then Sean Wamerswarm at WNYC.
Yeah, I love Sean.
Yeah, so he and I did a show together, and then he was like, come to this premiere party. It's going to be this like great new podcast. And I was like, cool. So I went, and then you guys came out. And
that was an event.
It was an event. It was packed. And then Phoebe wore this like amazing red dress.
From Forever 21.
I mean, I don't want to, like, just don't take this the wrong way. You look snatched. You look fucking amazing.
Thank you.
And then I think you walked up on stage and you said, and I'll never forget this, you said, oh, I can't do anything in this dress except get laid. And I was like,
that was funny saying. I don't remember saying that.
I was like, that's so fucking good. That's such a good line.
Because I like did not get laid that night. Oh, LOL.
Come on.
I mean,
you know, sometimes
I'm single. Just really.
Are you single?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
Can I tell you what I heard about today?
What?
Yeah.
Raya?
I'm waitlisted.
You are what? Are you waitlisted?
I've been waitlisted for a year and a half.
Why would they waitlist
you? I don't
know.
And I have a friend who got on Raya and used me as a reference, and I'm still not allowed on.
Oh, okay, my God. That's bullshit.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, because I didn't fucking know this, but Raya is like a dating app
for famous people.
For famous people. Like, for creatives, really, right?
Yeah, creatives, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
cool. For like notable creatives. Yeah. And Phoebe Robinson is not. Wow.
Call your motherfucking senators. That's bullshit.
Write in, call. And you know what? Don't email.
Don't email.
Yeah, no. Pick up the phone.
Call Diane Feinstein, you guys. Get on it.
Get on it.
Kirsten Gillibrand is a maybe.
The maybe vote on Phoebe.
Someone used you as a reference. That's crazy.
So someone is working on it.
Okay, good.
At Raya. Good. So hopefully it'll happen.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but I've heard mixed things. I heard that it's just like every other dating app where there's a lot of turds to
leave
through.
So sure.
I don't know. I'm a romantic. I just want to meet in person.
See, and honestly, that's how Henry and I met. And the only way I was looking was
on
the apps.
Wait, how did you guys meet?
We met when we met Josh Sharp and Aaron Jackson do a show in New York called Gay Show for All People. Mm-hmm. And their pianist is Henry Kapersky. And I was on the show doing a set. And that was when we met the very first time. And actually, I was on that show with Alana Glazer.
Yes.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, and who I had known like several years prior, because she was in a video that my sketch group did. Mm-hmm. And so I was reconnecting with her, and it was so funny because I was so excited to see her.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't seen her in years, and also I was like just pumped to see Alana perform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was catching up, not even catching up, because we weren't like friends, like kind of knew each other, but I was like picking her brain a little bit and talking to her. And this whole time out of the corner of my eye, I was like, but also that piano player though. But also like, clocked Henry, but he had a boyfriend at the time, and then they broke up, and 3 days later we got together. We've been together ever since.
How long have you guys been together?
Just hit up 2 years.
Oh my God, congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah,
that's so it's a beautiful.
He's the best. But what I'm saying is, I always in the back of my head was like, yeah, please God, let me meet someone in real life. But I was looking on the apps.
Yeah. Sure. Right now I'm holding out for John Hamm.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He did the podcast. Yeah. And I'm like, you know.
There was a connection.
And there was a connection.
Yeah. You got to follow up on that. I want to ask this semi-serious question, and this applies to both of you, to all three of us, to everybody in this room. Okay, but with Raya, if it's for creatives, how do we feel about dating people in the creative world? Because I was talking to someone about this, and they were like, oh, well, I would never want to date another person tangentially even in my field because there would just be this competitive thing.
Here's the thing, specifically with Raya, it's not just creatives in terms of like writers and actors and comedians. Like Amy Schumer met her like woodworker boyfriend. And that's also under the umbrella of creative.
Like if you're an entrepreneur, like own your own business, you know, like that sort of thing.
If you're not like an accountant, then you qualify.
Cool. You basically can't just be working at the desk.
Yeah.
Sure.
But for me, it's like when I was looking around, I just didn't want to date someone that was doing exactly what I was doing, especially when you're dating another man.
Yeah.
Because then it's like you literally are coming for the same spot.
Yeah.
And I wanted to avoid that because I know like I might have some deep-seated competition.
Yeah.
Issues.
And you also want your thing to be your thing and not, you know, you want to like date someone who like has different interests than you. So when you come home, you're not just talking about the same stuff. You know what I mean?
So is that what you want?
Yeah, I don't want to date a comedian. I will never do it again. I've done it in the past in my twents and I'm like, never again. But I'm open to like I'm open to Michael B. Jordan. Like I'm open
of
to
course.
Like select,
Michael
you know.
B.
I think I could be very open to Michael B. Jordan, if you know what I mean. I could be wide open. And there, I'll say it. I'll put it out there.
Poppers, hello.
Oh wow.
But yeah, I think
what a man.
Yeah, he's so dreamy.
Jesus Christ though.
Beautiful, I mean, beautiful. And so talented.
And such a great.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Do you know who I love?
Who?
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
What's he in?
Yeah.
Oh. They were all in a movie together.
Moonlight?
No. Michael B. I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Mahershala.
And Travante.
Yes. Yeah. And also who played at the end of the movie, Kevin, who grown up?
Oh, the guy, he was great.
Cute.
So handsome.
Super cute. I was super, and also, not for nothing, but that was a hot movie. It gets credit for being a great movie, but also it doesn't get enough credit for being a hot movie. I just watched it.
That HJ, I was like,
HJ was a moment.
Yeah, it was.
And
great.
Also, you get a little Oscar self-conscious.
HJ.
An Oscar-worthy hand job.
Yeah.
Is that the only movie that's ever an Oscar winner where a hand job was a full plot point?
Maybe.
I think so. Yes, I think so.
Okay, sure.
That wasn't in Pride and Prejudice.
That was not in Pride and Prejudice. That didn't happen in Black Swan.
Wait, no, Matt's like new latest fixture is the lead from the Power Rangers movie.
Oh, it's a basic.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, so again.
Is it a basic like hot dude?
It's like basic. He's a hot 22-year-old Australian who's obviously being starved named Dacre Montgomery.
That name is too much.
It's way too much. And he's way too much, but like too much good.
Yeah. Okay.
But I was going to say, what's his name? Oh, Jussie Smollett.
Who's that?
From Empire.
Oh, he's cute.
And honestly, he snuck up on me because in the beginning episodes of Empire, I was like, no. And then later on, I was like, yes.
He can sing. He's so handsome.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I always love my boys, my Justin Timberlake, my Chris Pine.
I'm a Chris Pine boy.
Okay, which one is that?
That is
Star Trek.
Because out of the many straight white Chrises, it's hard to keep them all in check.
What's
is Captain Kirk.
Oh, I thought that was Chris Evans.
Chris Evans is Captain America.
I'm so sorry.
No, don't be.
These hot, straight, white captains named Chris.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, Chris Pine. Yeah, that's the cute
Chris
one.
Chris Pine
I like that
everything
one.
To me. And I wish I could get into Zachary Quinto, but I'm just not.
He's cute.
I'm not a Spock guy. I'm a Kirk guy, if you know what I mean.
Hmm. He's cute on his Instagram, though.
Super.
Zachary, yeah. I'm
sure,
like,
sure, sure.
Yeah, he's like he's like a cute, stylish gay.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. And you can go for that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a type? Or do you think the types don't exist?
I don't know. I think I like kind of. I think my type is changing because I'm 32 now, and I think I'm because I have more self esteem now. Uh-huh. I love myself more. I think it's changing. I think before I was just kind of like
nerdy
thank
dudes,
you, or just like thank you so much for like liking me. Uh-huh, you know what I mean? Just like oh, I'm so happy you want to date me. I'm just grateful to be in a relationship, and now I'm like. I want to date a boss.
Yeah.
I want to date someone who like reads and is funny and obviously like super cute. But like, I think I just want an involved man.
You want somebody that can take care of themselves and has figured themselves out.
Exactly.
An
evolved
man.
You're not trying to be the person who saves anybody.
Not here for potential anymore. Sorry, I can't. I'm done.
If we can get Phoebe a man from this podcast.
Ooh, if you're out there, if you're an evolved man, reach out.
Like late 30s, early 40s. That'll be cute.
Oh my God.
Honestly.
If anyone deserves an evolved man.
Aww.
It's me and Phoebe.
Yeah, wait. How long have you been single? It's been almost 2 years.
My whole life. Well, the last time I dated someone was like years ago. But like even then, nothing's gone beyond like 2-3 months.
Yeah. It's hard to date.
It's hard. And I wouldn't consider myself ever having been in like a relationship. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
He's had things.
I've had things. I was recently on our friend Farrah's podcast where it's called Psychic Hotline, $1 a minute. She brings on comedians and they talk to psychics, like phone psychics. And
that's cool.
My main question was, hey, I've just been dealing with this my whole life and people telling me all the time, like, well, work on yourself and then they'll come. But I've been doing that for forever. Like what gives? Like, when's this gonna happen? And then the psychic, who may have been bad at her job because she just didn't really give me much, but she was like, you know what? I'm thinking mid-May you'll get someone. And then
mid-May,
and then she goes, I'm seeing September. By September you'll be living together. And I was like,
what?
Sure, okay.
That's wild.
I mean, that doesn't sound like me.
No. I would have been like, that opens up a whole bunch of more questions.
Yeah,
like, what the fuck's wrong with me in June and July?
Yeah, that's a lot.
I don't know.
Together by September, pump the brakes.
4 months? Yeah. No.
Gays move fast, but not stupid fast.
No. Oh my God. Yeah, I was just like, okay. And then I just like casually threw in there like, maybe I want a dog. And she was like, yeah, you know what? By the time you're moved into the place,
you're
going to
get a dog by next week.
You're going to get a dog. Yeah, I was like,
next week, I guess you get a dog.
Okay, I was like, okay, thanks, lady. And then her whole like adage for me was, and she just had this like raspy, smoky voice. And she was like, you know what? Just what I say is, this is what you have to remember. Just say, why not? Why not let myself have a dog and a boyfriend? And I was like, I kind of like pushed back. I was like, that doesn't really tell me anything.
Yeah,
also,
no.
I've been divorced 17 times.
There you go. Because for a literal fucking, 4 month relationship before you move in, like that's not going to end well. But anyway,
that's
where I'm at.
Yeah, she's crazy.
She's crazy.
Yeah, hard pass.
Hard pass.
Hard pass for me on believing.
Me too. And like,
are you a believer?
Would you hit up a phone psychic?
I don't think I would.
Yeah,
but I believe in other things. Like, I believe in aliens.
Yeah, for sure.
They're for sure here. I believe in like the secret and like the universe and all that kind of like stuff.
Oh my God. Well, I will only believe like that kind of new agey stuff when it comes. And I mean this. It's not just because we were talking about her earlier. When it comes from Oprah, because she has another video where she says, there are no mistakes.
Yes, but whatever, I've seen it. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm, she's like, but there is that thing that pushes you along your path and will always set you right. And I was like, that's it. That's my religion.
It's so true.
It's so true.
Yeah.
But I was very upfront with this lady over the phone. I was like, by the way, this is my first time calling. And I don't believe in astrology. I'm like not, but I'm just doing this for fun. And meanwhile, Farrah was just sitting there like hitting buttons and stuff. But
I love it.
Anyway,
my boyfriend, like for a second, was like toying with the idea of like getting into numerology.
No.
And I was like,
shut it down.
And then I sicked my best friend Sudie on him, and she was like, if you have problems, you need to go to a therapist. Numerology is not it.
That's it. That's true.
Yeah,
that's the
agree.
Tea.
Just read self-help.
Yeah,
that's what I do all the time.
Or meditate.
Yeah.
Or meditate.
Yeah.
Phoebe, before we move on, any other little, I know we didn't really talk about this that much, any little podcasty tips? I know it's like such a silly
world. Here's
a
question for you. I have a question for you.
Go. Yeah.
When you
are about to interview someone, yeah. do you come with your questions? Do you write things down?
Yeah, so we have like a very small crew at So Many White Guys, but they'll do research and then they'll send me like the first run of questions. Then I go through and tweak them, then add my own questions. And then I just kind of, when I do the interview, I just kind of like follow wherever the, the interview goes.
Great.
Yeah, that's the way you got to do it.
You got to keep it loosey-goosey.
Yeah, because especially when you're talking to people, like when I interviewed... I don't know, when I interviewed Tom Hanks, it was just like super fun and delightful. And I just kind of wanted to go wherever he wanted to go because he was so good at playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's done it a million times and I'm sure he felt it very refreshing.
Yeah.
To just have this kind of like candid conversation.
Exactly.
That felt
was that the most nervous you ever were? Tom Hanks?
No, the most nervous I was with, one was with strangely enough, the comedians, like Margaret Cho, I was very nervous with her. Mike Birbiglia, I was pretty nervous. And I don't know why, but with the comedians, I just like really want to do a good job or something.
Yeah, you want to do your
homework.
Also,
you don't know what they'll throw.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And I don't want to be like, oh, I'm not able to be funny with them. I don't know. I was just like really like, but it was great. Like Margaret was so funny and smart.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just delightful. I was like, girl, just relax.
I'm so glad she's like, she's coming back. Yeah. That, maybe she's never been gone, but like, you know, she's.
In terms of like formative comedic influences, was she one of yours?
Well, here's the thing is I was never a. I didn't want to get into stand-up. Like, it was never... comedy was never my thing. Like, I thought I was going to write, like, very serious films.
Yes, I remember this. Yeah,
I was like, American Beauty, I'm going to write, like, that floating bag scene. Like, that's, like, what I wanted. And so then when I started, you know, taking stand-up class, and then I kind of went back and I watched, like, Margaret Cho and Chris Rock and Ellen DeGeneres and all those people. So I really had to play catch-up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she was great. But like her specials at Wash, they were great.
We could like quote the Carnegie Hall set to each other.
Yeah, like Wanda Sykes and just people like that, just really smart. Like I really liked Patrice O'Neal. I didn't agree with like 35% of what he said, but he was so funny. He was always coming from a place of like his truth, which I thought was like very authentic and real and wasn't necessarily about like putting anyone down.
Yeah.
It was more about how he sees the world, and even if he's like kind of a little backwards gender wise, it still kind of felt like, oh, this is coming from a place of not like, oh, women are just dumb cunts. Like it was never that, you know what I mean?
Right. Did you watch the new Chappelle stuff?
I did.
I mean, it's, you know, I haven't watched it.
And I haven't watched it yet because I'm like, it's daunting.
I still have a lot of respect for him. It's weird to reconcile. It's like I don't know. It's very complicated.
It's tough.
Yeah. But, I think some of his stuff was funny. I think some of his queer stuff, I just think he's behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like some of the jokes, I'm like, oh, if he just replaced, like, instead of gay or trans and replace like a black person, I don't think he would make that joke.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Totally. But meanwhile, it's like, that's so funny that people think that that is like a viable option. Because meanwhile, you have, and I'm just going to like shout out you and Jessica. It's like, well, you two on stage just to like talk about yourselves and celebrate yourselves. And it's like, just do that.
Yeah.
It's easier and it's more fun and it's like good for everybody.
It's more interesting to turn it inward.
Totally.
Yeah. And I think if you're going to, I don't know, it's just like, I don't think I would ever do trans material because it's like, I'm not intelligent enough to talk about it yet.
No.
And that's okay. You know what I mean?
Same.
And like, sometimes it's like the best thing that you can do is not be the voice of it. Just pass it to an actual trans person.
And
have them do the comedy.
Yeah.
And that's better than you like trying to figure it out as like a cis person and like really like do it poorly.
You know?
Totally.
Especially because it's always changing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. It's sometimes I think about like how far we've come in like 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Even, and we thought we were like nailing it in 2009.
Yeah.
And it's like... there was still like garbage happening. Like the amount of frustrating like gay jokes you saw on like network television, like they only just are disappearing now.
That is true. And it's very like sometimes you go back and you watch like Friends or something, you're like, the amount of gay panic on that show,
yes.
It was
gay
like
panic.
What?
Yep. And even
it's crazy.
Even on Will and Grace. Like, that was just
how
like...
How do you guys feel about it? Because so, from the outside, I go, oh, it was a little backwards, but I think it was, like, a great first step. But do you feel that? Or are you kind of like, nah, like, was not...
I don't think it's bad that it existed. Mm-hmm. I think it was such a funny show. And I think it, like, it was... It got people talking about, like, what it must be like to be gay. Mm-hmm. And it got people, like, on the side of gay people because they were able to laugh with... gay people. However, what I think it did contribute to, perhaps unknowingly, was this thing of like, you're either a Will or a Jack.
Yeah.
And because they were the only two real gay people on like mainstream network television. So it was like, you know, people were getting asked by their aunts and uncles like that were coming, if you were coming out of the closet. So are you a Will or a Jack? Wow. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're either a this or you're a that, or you're either a man or you act like a woman.
Right.
And because I think it was so important to the comedy of that show that we had that duality, like it just ended up reinforcing a stereotype.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Also, it also kind of bothered me that Will, like he never like... I don't think his relationships were ever explored as deeply as Grace's were. And that always bothered me because I was like, and Deborah Messing was like a goddess on that show. She was like hysterical. But amazing. I'm like, I don't know. I just feel like Eric McCormick, just you could see there was so much he could do if they just gave him like a really meaty, substantial relationship. And they didn't do that.
Also, Eric McCormick is a straight man.
I know.
And that's also another thing is it's just like, you know, again, like, and that, you know, it's not too long ago that we were like, don't worry, he's actually straight in real life. You know what I mean? Like, don't worry, audiences of America, he's actually straight.
Right.
It's funny that he's playing a gay guy. And also, Sean Hayes was saying he was straight at the time.
I know, and that's crazy, but it's also like, I don't know what I would do in his position at that time. It's really hard.
Yeah, it was hard.
Probably wasn't just his decision.
Did you like Will and Grace?
I loved Will and Grace, and thinking about Sean Hayes, it's like he probably had his reps being like, you cannot.
Oh, absolutely. Come out. So, it didn't matter that he played like the gayest of all gay caricatures. It was still gonna be a bad situation if he was like outwardly gay.
Totally. Wow. Before we move on to I Don't Think So, Honey, Phoebe, can we just have a general convo? How are you so excited for I Love Dick? Are you so excited for Portlandia? Like, what's like coming down the pike that you want to talk about?
Yeah, so I Love Dick comes out May 12th. I don't know if this is going up before or after that.
Probably around then.
Probably right around then. Yeah.
Really excited. It's Kevin Bacon, Catherine Hahn, Griffin Dunn. Yeah, Catherine is amazing. Talented and sweet. And Kevin is just like, he's like the I just laugh because I like would avoid eye contact with him so much because I was so intimidated by him. And like now I'm like, oh, it's be Kevin. A person.
Yeah.
But like on set, I was like, he's so cool and funny and like really good at his job. And like, he's hot. And I was like, I'm just going to be a comedian in the corner.
He's an amazing actor.
He's so good.
And everyone says how wonderful he is just to be around and what he's a good person he is. Yeah.
I think when you've been famous for that long, you're like, I don't care that I'm famous. Like, I'm just living my life.
Him
you know
and
what
Kira,
I mean?
Baby. Yeah.
And they raised an amazing daughter, Sosie, who's my friend.
She's so cute.
And she's the best.
I love her. She's
and
really
she's
sweet.
On 13 Reasons Why. And everyone should watch 13 Reasons
Why. I
heard
the show's heavy.
I hear it's heavy. Very rough.
And a friend of mine, Julia Bicknell, writes on it. I would shout out her.
Oh, Julia writes on it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
But I heard it's very heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Man.
But also good. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we need to tackle the heavy.
Totally.
We got to talk about it.
Oh, my God. What's Jill like? I love
Jill
her
so
cute.
Much. Jill is cute. She's, like, really cool and funny and sweet. And, like, she's a genius. Like, she's able to, like, pinpoint how to make something better. And you're just like, whoa, I wouldn't be like that.
Yeah.
You know, at her age. And Portlandia is great, too. Yes. Like, Fred and Carrie are just so funny and really sweet. And they're great leaders. Uh-huh. And I just really feel like this year I'm just able to work with people who are just really... There's, like, no bullshit. There's no drama. Everyone is just like, we're here to do a job and it's fun. And then we can go home.
Isn't that great?
And I like that.
Yeah. Isn't that great to just not be disappointed by those people that you have looked up to and have to look up to in a professional setting?
Yeah.
Like, they're just like facilitating your growth and your success. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's been good. And I just sold my second book.
I was just saying today, I was like, I think Phoebe sold another book.
Yeah. No, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Can you tease?
Well, it's going to be another essay collection.
Yes. Yes.
One essay is called White Nonsense.
Uh-huh. So we love it. We hate it.
On the brand.
So I think it's going to be super fun. We're trying to figure out a title right now. Uh-huh. And yeah, I'm going to start writing it, I guess, next month.
Oh my God.
This is why I'm single. I'm like, I'm just going to keep working. And like, hopefully my husband will find me.
But hey.
Please. It's, honestly, it is happening.
It's happening. That's so cool.
I know.
Cool.
I just don't want to be like Katherine Heigl in 27 dresses.
No. But then she ended up. Who was the
James
fucking?
Marsden is hot.
James Marsden.
Oh my God.
He's actually, you know what? He's the one.
Because he can act, he can sing, he can dance.
So
it's
funny.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Honestly, he's the kind of guy that you know smells good.
Yes. Yes. I agree with
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Westworld, that was.
I haven't seen it yet. I
haven't seen it either.
Recommend.
Okay.
The first few episodes are hard.
Like, because confusing or?
No, in terms of the subject matter, it's like, fuck.
It's like another HBO show where women are treated horribly.
Is this going to be another HBO show? But then that flips it on its head and actually becomes about that. And it's amazing. Again, cool. It's Westworld is, and I have to give big ups to HBO because they have kind of taken this criticism that's like, yo, a lot of women get raped and murdered and beat up in your shows.
Yeah.
And they've kind of really taken that narrative and now they make shows that are about that.
Mm-hmm.
But it really kind of just makes society look at itself.
Yeah.
Like Big Little Lies did, mm-hmm. like where, you know, people ask, what is that show about? And you start describing it and everyone's like, that sounds like every other stupid show about like rich white women, like fighting with each other. But really it's a show about domestic violence and how that ripples through a community and affects everyone for the worse. Mm-hmm. Westworld is about like how violence is entertainment. And especially violence against women is entertainment and what that does to the psyche and where it could lead. And it's a, and it's really,
yeah,
that sounds really fascinating.
And it's also extremely well done.
Wow.
And probably maybe the best performance on television is Tandy Newton.
Tandy.
Oh, I love Tandy.
Yeah. She's it.
Come
she's
on.
It.
Come through, Tandy.
Do you think that she should win an Emmy?
So they will be in different categories than all the Big Little Lies ladies. And yes, I do absolutely 100%.
Oh, right.
Although she's this is breaking tea news. She's being campaigned as a lead actress.
Okay.
On Westworld. And
what about Evan?
She's not the lead actress of the show. And she could flat out win the supporting actress category. But the best actress category is kind of being swept up by Claire Foy from The Crown.
Oh, right.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it because I'm so bored of old British
men
coughing.
I don't care.
Nicole Kidman, except it's an old British man coughing instead.
Yeah.
So I think she's being put in the wrong category, but I think that she should be showered with awards.
There you go. You gotta.
And Tandy Newton has been. People talk about people. Like sleeping on Laura Dern, like sleeping on it. We've been sleeping on Tandy. That's gonna be my I Don't Think So, Honey.
Oh wow,
that's the first time I've ever revealed my I Don't Think So, Honey.
Yes.
Forecasting it. But Phoebe, we're just saying it's happening for you, and not necessarily for like someone to come and like be your SO. No, we're just saying like you're doing so much. It's so cool. It's so inspiring to watch.
Thank
we
you.
Love you so much.
Yeah, because
you.
You're a true creative powerhouse.
I just want to have an empire and create my own shows and help facilitate other people to create their shit. And I just go back and sit back and be like, you just go crush it.
Yeah,
just be like, I know
it's
this
a beautiful
person.
Ripple
yeah.
effect.
I love that. Okay, time to move on to I Don't Think
it's
So, Honey.
It's time for
oh
I Don't Think So, Honey. And of course, Phoebe recently did our live show.
Which was
fantastic.
So fun.
And
I was on my period. I was so tired.
I'm so sorry, but
that's
thank you
why
for
I
doing
left.
It.
Still coming out.
That's why I left. I watched till the end, but then I got into a lift immediately
Please,
and like
no
went
worries.
Home and I was like, oh.
Look.
No
you
worries.
You gotta go when you gotta go.
Yeah.
And look, thank you so much for doing that. That was so great of you.
Oh my
and
God.
Iconic I Don't Think So, Honey, about women who put their braids up in a tall bun.
I mean, it's so infuriating. It's like, I can't see this concert.
Mm-mm, no, you can't. You can't.
Yeah.
Come on. Just think of the people around you, okay? Think of the eyeline around you.
You know what? I just changed. I'm not gonna do people who come for Tandy Newton because I just told you that you should be ashamed.
Okay.
I have someone else.
Here we go. You go first because I'm still thinking.
I'm gonna go first.
This is Matt Rogers. I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. John Mayer. I don't care about your new album. You're disrespectful.
You're very disrespectful. I don't care about you and your music. I don't care about your whiny ass voice. You have a low whine to your voice. You think that you're Bob Dylan? No. You know what? Like, honestly, I don't think so, honey. You being disrespectful to women, you spilled all the tea about women you've slept with. You are the equivalent of that person on Facebook who just wants the likes.
Ooh.
You posted garbage, and you've been posting the same shit all the doodah day, and you just, you expect to get likes for it. Look, I can listen to this album right now. It could sound the same fucking shit as Continuum, and that's literally the only other album I can name from you. Not true. Room for Squares.
15 seconds.
John Mayer, I don't think so, honey. You don't bring enough. I think you're a 7 out of 10 in terms of looks. It could be better. If I want to listen to someone strum a guitar, bring Jason Mraz. Oh! Where are you at, Jason Mraz? I don't think so, honey. John Mayer, I think so, Jason Mraz.
Oh, and that's 1 minute. God. Oh, man.
That was so good.
Really good.
I don't care. No, about my God. Him.
Continuum is so good.
Continuum is a great album. Yes. Can we all be on? Okay, we're all on the same.
And Room for Squares is really good.
It's
too.
Really good.
Okay, but listen.
But he is trash.
He's terrible.
He is true trash, and he was
a racist piece of shit to Kumail Nanjiani. That's true. That's the tea.
He was.
Kumail tweeted this whole thing. You have to look it up. Because John Mayer dabbles in stand up, I guess.
Hard pass.
Yeah. And like,
oh, he doesn't dabble. He's gone out and done it.
And then like he and Kumail are on the same bill one night. Yeah. Isn't that the stupidest thing you've ever heard?
So dumb.
But then like after the show, like I don't know what instigated it, but like they got into like a full on like war of words and like just fucking, they got into it. So look that up. It's so disgusting.
You don't go out and describe what sex was like with people. Everyone knows.
That's
it's
so
like
tacky.
He went
you,
out
you
and
can,
like,
but not in that way.
He explicitly described sex with people that like and like they weren't. I don't know. It was
it's just
messy.
Embarrassing.
That's a form of harassment.
Yeah,
and also like then he got all pissed because Taylor Swift wrote like an indirect song about him. It's like, please, sit and spin.
Yeah.
Like, don't act like you weren't on Howard Stern, like spilling the tea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't like hypocrites, and he gets away with it because he's like a straight white dude.
Sure.
I mean, I think for sure.
Totally. No, absolutely.
Are you racking your brain trying to think of your? I don't think
I
so.
I have a couple.
You have a
and
couple.
You're trying to decide.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. I
saw
I don't have
come over you. Where you were just like, oh my god.
Phoebe has fingers to temples.
And extremely amazing, beautiful manicure.
White. Okay, so this is inspired by Kris Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
She paints her nails white.
Uh-huh.
I saw this on Keeping with the Kardashians. It's like the one super trash thing that I watch.
Do it.
And I was like, I want to try this.
Uh-huh.
This is the only thing from the Kardashian life I want to try.
Okay.
And I like it.
It works so well.
So maybe I need a lip cap.
Get a lip cap.
Get
Kylie lip
cap. She's too much. These are amazing nails.
Jails.
And also, is this a Prince pin?
It is.
Yes, it's gorgeous.
I bought it from wildfang.com. They're a feminist clothing apparel place.
Check them out. Ooh.
Yeah.
Like,
ooh, that's good. That's a good plug. It's time, Bowen.
I don't have anything solid.
Well, you want me to go into the troll bowl?
No. Go into the troll bowl, yes.
So, everyone, Bowen has decided that it's time to go into the troll bowl.
Wow.
Of course, the troll bowl is our potpourri of pop culture topics, and he has to go negative on whatever I choose right now.
And these are all universally loved in general.
Yes, universally loved things. I really want to find something good. I want to find something that comes out of nowhere.
Come on,
okay, I
give
have
it to me.
One.
Okay, here we go.
All right, Bowen Yang, your I Don't Think So, Honey is about Mrs. Claus, and it starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, Mrs. Claus, and whoever invented you, whatever fucking Norse idiot invented you, Mrs. Claus, to be a feminized version of Santa Claus who's at home being domestic as fuck. Look, I am third wave feminist, honey. Yes, I am, but I don't appreciate you just sitting at home in that rocking chair, knitting or whatever the fuck you're doing, Mrs. Claus. I don't think so, honey, Mrs. Claus. What are you doing the rest of the year when it's not Christmas? You better be reading some fucking Joan Didion. You better be reading some Roxane Gay. I don't care. Just better. You better be reading and come correct to the Santa Claus and teach him to be a better human being. I don't think so, honey, Mrs. Claus. Where are you? We need to see you surface yourself.
Where are you?
Where are you, Mrs. Claus? We need more female representation during the holidays. And I don't think so, honey. You stay.
5 seconds, come hard.
Just sitting in front of the fucking fireplace mantle and just thinking that you can just get away with just being domestic as fuck.
That's
I don't
one
think
minute.
So, honey. Oh, my
honestly,
God.
You asked, where are you? We know she's at the North Pole. We know where she is.
We know where she is, but I'm saying, where is she in the conversation? We don't talk about her. Okay. All righty.
Oh, man. Okay, well, the bar is obviously high, Phoebe.
God, this is like so scary.
No, you're going to pull vault right over that bar.
I know,
bar.
But it's like so scary.
No, it's not scary, Phoebe. You're going to nail it. You nailed it the first time. You've done this before.
Dope queen, Phoebe.
But also, no
crush. On the track.
This is, I don't, Phoebe Robinson's. I don't think so, honey. Time starts now.
I don't think so, Lyft drivers who are not based in New York. Do not ask me to sit in the front passenger seat with you.
No.
We are not driving to Coachella together,
no.
honey. I am trying to go home and take this Plan B pill, okay? Also, learn how to pronounce my name. Don't say Phoebe. It is
what?
Phoebe.
Oh, no.
I've been on Charmed. Phoebe from Charmed. Phoebe from Friends. Phoebe from Catcher in the Rye, honey.
Oh,
read a
she's
book.
Been around 30 seconds. 30
also,
seconds.
Also, what I...
no, yes.
Also, I hate your fucking... like music choice.
Yes.
It's just Ryan Seacrest and Jason Derulo
oh.
and fucking Chainsmokers, honey.
15 seconds.
I don't think so, Paris. I don't think so, Closer. I am done, honey.
Yes.
I cannot. I'm
oh
so
my
I
God.
I can also cannot with the
five
please
seconds.
Rate me 5 stars. Bitch, I will rate you when I want to rate you. Get out my life.
Oh, that's 1 minute. Oh,
that was my
wonderful.
God.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? You spoke for us all.
You spoke for us all. And you threw in there, and I don't think so, honey, for the Chainsmokers. Oh, my God. I'm so done with the Chainsmokers.
I was never starting
I
with them.
I was into them for like a solid 2 months, and
uh-huh.
I was like, oh, no, I got duped.
You got duped. They're bad
I did.
People.
Yeah. They're
that's
like,
what I hear.
Are they bad people?
They're just like bros.
No thanks.
Yeah.
They're
nope.
like,
done,
imagine
done,
two
done,
John
done.
Mayers who can like use GarageBand.
I just, actually,
I mean,
actually, I'm dead now. I just jumped out the window.
Okay. Oh my God. You guys, this has been such a good episode.
I don't want this to end.
We don't
oh
want
God.
It to end either. Oh my God, Phoebe. Come on. What's going on? We just want to like hang with you.
Well, let's, when we all are back in New York, can we
yes.
just do like a fun slumber party, not at my apartment because I live far away.
No, we'll do it at mine. We've got a big old
oh my God.
Big living room.
We love. Listen, Phoebe has so much coming up. So you're going to see her everywhere.
Up.
Don't worry about that. And I think this is going to be premiering right before the show.
I love Dick on Amazon. Please watch it. Please rate it.
Yes.
Jill Soloway, Kevin Bacon, Catherine Hahn, and me with my small lines.
Yes.
Okay, thank
no.
you.
Honestly, we cannot wait. Guys, this has
on.
Been the Lost Culturistas podcast, and next to me is Bowen Yang.
Next to me is Matt Rogers.
In front of us is Phoebe Robinson. This has been so fun. Thank you, Forever Dog. Thank you, everybody.
YQY.
YQY.
Yay. Oh, my God.
That was
yes.
so
Phoebe.
Fun.
Oh, my gosh.
That
Hits.
Was really good.
That
okay, so in
like...
Harry Potter.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.